Now you're talking about really finding a hidden gem. And I think that's where the true meaning of arbitrage is coming out. So you're going to earn 1% per month on that $1,000 every month until it's paid back to you. Now you can get 5% on your subsequent tax payments as well as the 1%. One of the barriers to entry, which keeps those people out, is investment plays. So there are very, very limited sources of lenders who will lend money for the purpose of investing in tax sales. You could actually make zero ROI. We're going to cover it because you need to know it and because we have.
Quick note before we continue, nothing we discuss in this podcast should be considered legal, financial, or investment advice. Tax lien laws vary significantly by state, and every property situation and investor is unique. Always consult with qualified legal and financial professionals in your jurisdiction before making any investment decisions. Now, let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to the JurisDeed Podcast, where technology and expertise unlock tax sale investing for everyone. Let's get back into it, this time about subsequent taxes in Louisiana as we continue our journey through the new Louisiana 2026 tax sale laws. Again, I'm Stephen Morrell, founder and CEO of JurisDeed, and with me is my co-founder, George Jackson.
Hello, folks. How's it going? Actually, this podcast is titled Subsequent Taxes Arbitrage.
This episode, if you will.
This episode?
You said the podcast.
This episode.
That would be a boring podcast.
Arbitrage. Stephen, what is arbitrage? Because I think I know what it means, but it's, I don't know what it is. What is arbitrage?
I'm not a financial guy, believe it or not. I'm a lawyer and a tech guy, but I was told that it is buying a bunch of stuff and then selling it for hire.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go with that.
Sweet.
But let's explain what that means for subsequent taxes in Louisiana tax liens under the new 2026 tax law.
Well, it's characterized as a hidden opportunity. And essentially, why don't you walk the listeners through? So you buy a tax lien, let's say 2,000, and we'll take the law changes, we'll parking lot those for a second.
Right.
Subsequent taxes, what does that mean?
So there's a new tax bill every single year on a property, right?
Okay.
So when a property falls delinquent and goes up for tax sale, you're buying that 1 year of tax that fell delinquent.
Okay.
But time doesn't stop ticking. So if it doesn't pay back right away, a calendar year happens and there's another tax bill on the same property. You don't automatically get it just because you bought the tax lien at last year's tax sale. So that next tax year, someone has to be paid.
Right.
And, different states do it different ways, where how they send the notices out of the next year's tax sale, the tax bill for the next year, and whether that goes to the original taxpayer who lost, the tax lien at the previous tax sale, or whether that notice goes to the tax investor. And in Louisiana, in the past, again, we're still contrasting from what was prior to 2026. Because of a kooky way that the law was written, the tax bills after a tax sale occurred would be mailed to the new tax sale purchaser, the lien, the investor who just bought the lien, not the homeowner. So it kind of disincentivized, the homeowner continuing to pay to keep, because you can have multiple tax liens as opposed to just one.
They didn't even get the bill.
Well, right. They didn't get the bill. And now you might say, well, you should know you have a bill and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, the point is that this is a tax collection system. This is not a foreclosure system, right? And so the whole idea here is to encourage timely payment of taxes, or at least the collection of tax if you can't get it timely, and sending the bill to the investor rather than the homeowner in a period of time where they can still recover. It didn't make any whole lot of sense. But where does that affect investors really is in, okay, so I have to hold on to this. I just bought a tax lien and you're telling me Louisiana law is the 3-year redemption period, right? Redemption period, as we explained in past episodes, it's the waiting period that you have to wait while interest is accruing, mind you, but you can't take any steps to foreclosure, right? You can't actually take the property. You have to wait, and the homeowner or anyone on their behalf has the absolute constitutional right to pay that off with interest, whatever's owed, during that time period without any other repercussions. So that's the redemption period. And there's a version of that in every state.
But somebody's got to pay that. But during those 3 years, you've only involved yourself in the situation because you bought that first year
of
taxes. And so then the question becomes, what do you do with the subsequent year taxes? And what you're saying is this becomes a challenge because if you don't buy those subsequent taxes, somebody else can come in and you have like a title, almost like a who gets the title type shakeout.
Well, it's both a challenge and an opportunity. And in the new law, the opportunity is much more significant than it used to be under the old law.
Okay.
And let me explain that. So we've talked before about how when you buy the tax lien, it's accruing at 1% per month interest.
Now, again, right.
And that's if you bought it at 1%. Under the new auction system, you may have bid that down to 0.7, as low as it gets, right? But whatever the winning interest rate was at the new Louisiana tax sale auction, that's the interest that's going to apply on the tax that you paid at that tax sale for that 1 year, mm-hmm. right? Let's say that it was a $1,000 tax bill, went at the tax sale. You were the investor, you bought it, and you got it at, well, just keep things simple, you bought it at 1%. Like, so nobody else bid against you, right? So you're going to earn 1% per month on that $1,000 every month until it's paid back to you, okay? And so, and obviously, if you bid down a lower percentage, that would apply too. Now, in the past, in Louisiana, the investor, and when I say you in this context, mm-hmm. I'm referring to you as being the investor. Yes. You could pay the next year's taxes if they fell delinquent. You could pay them, and you would be entitled to the same 1% interest per month on that tax that you paid in, let's call that year two, right? But that's it. But the way the law was written made it confusing for some tax collectors. Which is usually the sheriff. They wouldn't always actually give you the interest rate because it was the way it was worded was very confusing. And some literally interpreted it to mean that the investor was not entitled to that interest, and it has never been corrected. So you literally have some parishes where you thought you were getting that 1% and you just don't. It's just not included in a redemption. So. Bear in mind that you're paying taxes well into the redemption period of your tax lien that you bought the year before, right? Mm-hmm. So someone comes in and wants to pay that tax lien off. The tax collector is supposed to find out, are there any other years of tax that happened after your tax lien that mm-hmm. you also paid that I need to also collect for and give you that back as well?
Right.
So the person wants to redeem, usually the collector will make them pay back the original tax lien plus interest and any subsequent years. But the difference being here in this context is that some collectors were not requiring or calculating an interest return on that subsequent tax. That's a big difference. You're putting money out there. It's not a charity, right? And it should be worth something. So, all right, now the new law made it abundantly clear, completely. Like there's no dispute whatsoever now that if you buy the subsequent taxes, you pay the subsequent taxes, starting the very first year after you bought the tax lien, you're going to get 1% per month. Now, you hear I said 1%, because it doesn't matter whether you bid down the interest rate on the when you bought the tax lien. That bid down rate, if you did bid it down to like potentially 0.7, only impacts the accrual of interest on that 1 year, that tax lien amount you bought. If you buy the subsequent years, it's automatically at 1% because there was no bidding going on for it. Right. Now, you also can't pay it until it falls delinquent. You can't, the tax bill comes out, there's a period of time of it. You have to wait for it. And then remember, under the new law, the notices, the tax bills are going to go to the taxpayer, not to the investor. So there'll be more opportunity for them to pay it timely, eliminating this opportunity for you to get subs. But not eliminating it, just reducing it. So not only are you going to get 1% per month on the subsequent taxes, but here's the big kicker. 5% penalty that normally used to only get at the tax sale as part of your return. The tax sale return for the investor is what you paid at the tax sale plus 1% per month plus a 5% kicker on top of 5% of the amount that you paid at the tax sale. Now, interest doesn't accrue on that 5% kicker, but it was added in. So the total amount that you got paid back as the investor was what you paid plus the 5% kicker plus 1% per month. Now, on subsequent taxes, and I'll wrap this point up here and let you ask me all the questions that I'm sure you have. Now you can get 5% on your subsequent tax payments as well as the 1%. Now you're talking about really finding a hidden gem. And I think that's where the true meaning of arbitrage is coming out, is this is buried in the original investment. You're thinking tax lien sale, right? Get the tax lien. And now you're paying the subs because you have the tax lien, not because it's in a separate event. It's delinquent. And you're going to start getting 1% per month and the 5% kicker on that subsequent year's tax. Now you start compounding or stacking, not really. Compounding is a bad word because it's not compounding. It's simple interest. But you're stacking all of what you're earning from year over year and add it all together. And now your overall ROI is going to skyrocket.
What happens if what happens if I want to buy subs but I don't have money? Like, is there some, like, what do I do? Well, like, in other words, I recognize that, hey, there's an opportunity for some hidden value by buying these subs. But I'm like, dude, I squandered all my money on acquiring the whatever.
Yeah, or you're trying to save your money for the next year's auction.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you know, having access to capital is
what I'm getting at.
Is that no question one of the barriers to entry, which keeps those people out of this investment place. So there are very, very limited sources of lenders who will lend money for the purpose of investing in tax sales. Most traditional lenders will stay away from it because it's the nature of the collateral is, you know, it's based upon laws and state by state and all the things that we're talking about that create complexity as investment are the same things that keep banks away from wanting to lend, right? And so financing is very, very hard to get. So if you don't have your own money and you don't have a line of credit or whatever you want to, you know, borrow from uncle, whatever, there's a handful of sources. Our partners at Tax Sale Resources have a fund that is they kicked off a couple of years ago. It's been very successful. In fact, as a teaser, we might be helping to bring that financing specifically to Louisiana investors through our own platform.
And if you wanted to go to jurisdeed.com and let us know how enthusiastic you might be for such things, that would not be a bad thing.
Right. It's going to be a huge development in the course of 2026 for us and for making financing available for tax lien purchases in Louisiana.
But most importantly, it's something that should, you know, if anybody has anxiety about, you know, potentially holding tax certificates that they think maybe they're never going to be able to get rid of or whatever, there could be a great opportunity because this capital exists, you know, to potentially bundle or, you know, there's a lot of opportunities still exist in this. I mean, like, no two ways about it. There's a lot of.
Yeah. Now, look, you're still going to want to take, and again, this kind of gets back into the business model, the business decisioning, which is less of what we are doing on the jurisdiction side and more about letting you, the investor, be the investor. Let it stop focusing on legal compliance and you know, understanding the changes of laws, et cetera, and focus on making smart investment decisions. Like, should I pay the subs on this? Is it a good ROI? What is the problem? What condition is the collateral in? Does it make sense to double down on my tax sales last year? Like, these are all things that you should be able to have more time and energy to focus on. And of course, we're going to have lots of tools and AI powered gadgets that are on our platform that are going to help you make those calls. But this frees you up to be able to focus more on being an investor rather than playing, you know, legal administrator or paralegal, you know, or hiring an expensive lawyer to own an hourly rate.
So you're kind of dipping your toe into like portfolio management not portfolio management, but much higher level. Absolutely. Which maybe we would even discuss in a subsequent episode of this here 10 months.
You might think that, yes.
We're going to discuss portfolio management and that kind of stuff down the road. That is part of the evolution of this whole thing.
Yep.
Other than determining what your investment strategy is and then filtering your bidding strategy through that overarching, you know, investment strategy.
Yeah.
What else about the bidding and the percentages and the new law specific to, you know, title control? You know, what can this, so the old law, you might have two competing lien holders.
Right.
What would you do then? Like what would happen then?
Well, it's
you don't have to go down.
Yeah, no, it just creates another level of complexity. It's something that's already complex, and it's just you know, you're moving further away from what this should become, right? It's streamlined and a smooth, you know, it's more smooth sailing, enjoying that high interest return with that secured collateral backed by state and federal laws. Like, that's why you got into it, right? Not because you you know, you wanted to sit here and figure out all the nuances and the different twists and turns that the law could force you down. What we talk about with title control is relative to subsequent taxes,
right?
Over the time period. Now, this assumes that the original tax lien is still unredeemed, right? Of course. Over that time period, while you're waiting for that redemption period to either to either expire or to get paid back, year two passes, right? Year three passes. And by paying the additional subs, you're increasing the total amount of debt that has to be paid back for you to go away, right? So you're also, yes, you're adding to the total principal basis that you're earning interest upon, which is good for your returns. But in the event that the best case scenario for you that you determined because of your own business outlook has said, I want to go the distance. I would like this to go all 3 years because I'll make the most interest on that. I'm not interested in foreclosing. I don't really care about that, but I would like to go. I don't want to be redeemed on day one, right? It makes it a little bit harder to redeem quickly if you have more to pay off to do so, right? It makes it a little bit more. So you're controlling the investment more and you're stacking by adding more principal that's earning interest. So your return is going higher too. So it's an investment strategy, but those taxes have to be paid too. So again, it's not a you're thinking about this in a way of like, oh my God, how does that sound? You're prying on or preying on, people who haven't paid their taxes. Remember, if under the new law, they're the ones getting the notice. If they're capable of paying their taxes, I assure you they probably will because they don't want to lose their property.
Right.
And most people just don't want to go through that if they don't have to. So if it's unpaid, it's probably because they can't afford it. Mm-hmm. Now, if they can't afford it, who's hurt by that? All the other tax-paying citizens of that county, right?
Right.
So it's not someone has to pay it. And if it's unpaid, you could say, argue under past law, maybe they didn't know about it, right? Or maybe somebody died and the heirs didn't get the notice. And all those things could certainly happen, right? But under the new law, it's much, much less likely. So you're playing a vital role in the collection ecosystem that sustains the county for year over year.
And the last thing you just were talking about were the notifications,
yeah.
Which
might be
the next pod,
yeah,
or the next episode. I mean, obviously this is following a
well, and like, why do you care? Yeah. So segueing to that, why do you care about mandatory notices? That sounds really, really boring and dry. And it probably is, which means you don't want to be the one doing it, And,
right. But if you don't do it, you can invalidate,
You could actually make zero ROI. Exactly. You could have an invalid lien or just, make your money back. So we're going to cover it because you need to know it. And because we have some solutions to help you with it.
You don't need to know how to do it. You need to know how important it is.
And that you need to do it.
Correct. Anyway, I'm George Jackson.
I'm Stephen Morrell. And we'll see you on the next episode.
And in the interim, if you want to, you can go to jurisdeed.com.
Thank you for reminding me. Uh-huh.